Good morning. Welcome to our last talk on relationships. Hey, I was hoping for maybe a moan rather than a cheer, but that's okay. I take it personally. Do you want to stand and have a quick stretch? Quick stretch, Dan. Stand, quick stretch. So, I've been talking to your magnificent group leaders. Small round of applause for group leaders. Anyway, I've been talking to your group leaders and I've been asking them what you like and don't like. Because I want to know you, because I want to love you, and usually need to know someone well, to love someone well. Anyway, I've been talking to them. They say that you love exams. Now, I thought that was a bit weird myself, but they say, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was particularly Caleb Schultz, actually. He said that you would sell your own pet puppy for a good old-fashioned quiz. Now, I've got to say, again, strange, but according to him, and feel free to take this up with him later, nothing moves you more than having to sit a test. And so because of that, because I want to love you well, for our last talk together, that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a test. All right? We're going to have the love test. We're going to test one another to see what we've learned and how we'll live and what we can pass on to others. And here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask some questions. Normally, I'll get you to talk to the person next to you, but it'll be super quick, bullet point. We don't have long, and then we're going to share back the answers together. And again, courtesy of your wonderful leaders, I've got some sugar-coated motivation to have you call out some answers. Yes, that's right. Now, for this to work, I'm going to need you to give me back your attention when I ask for it. That's how you... I'm going to love you with a test. You can love me by giving my attention back. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All against, say nothing. Good. Okay, excellent. Let's go. On the first day, we asked the question, why do we love love? And so my question to you is, why do we? Why do we love love? And for extra points, defend your answer from either God's word or God's character. Okay, first question, why do we love love? Person next to you, time starts now, go. Okay, here comes the wonderful Lily. She's going to hand out our motivations. Throw up your hand, got an answer? Yep, blue hat in the middle, just here, hand high. Oh, love it. But we're made. Oh, hello. Yes, answer.
God made us for love, and that we can see that by how he made us in his image.
Yeah, made us for love because he made us in his image. Beautiful. We had some more over there. Yep. Over here. Yep.
God, Jesus died on the cross because he loved us.
Yes. Yeah. Jesus gives us a great example of love at the cross. Yes, any from this side of the room? Does anyone from this side of the room want a chocolate? Because if you've got to do is give an answer. Yep, at the back. Thanks, mate.
God gave to us.
God, sorry?
God
gave love to us. Wonderful. Last call over here, right over here in the blue jacket here. Lily, can you see? Yep. Yeah, he made us to be in loving relationships. Good answers. Another question coming soon. Throw your hand back down. You can put your hand up again later. Remember, we saw because it's what he made us for, what he made us as, and ultimately it's because of who we were made by. Do you remember? And we see it all through God's word, rules, rituals, New Testament. God loved us that we might love others. The way we talk about this to our kids is it's a bit like a beautiful waterfall. The love of God cascades down to us and then through us out to one another. We were made to love by a loving God made known in Jesus. You know, there's a legend about the Apostle John. You'll know he wrote John's Gospel and 1, 2, 3 John. In his writing of verses like John 3:16, you know the one? For God to love the world, that he gave his only Son. Or one of my favorites, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Anyway, there's a legend about this John, and it says that when he was too old to walk, I don't know how he looked like, but anyway, he used to be carried into church by his students. And as he was carried in, each time he would just say over and over, little children, love one another. Again, I don't know if he did that either, but anyway, little children, love one another. And eventually one of his students, I guess, kind of got fed up and said, Master, why do you always say that? And do you know how he replied? Apparently he said, it's because it's the Lord's command. And if that's all you do, it's enough. And he's right, isn't he? For the glory of God and the good of others, love. Okay, second question. Same process. What went wrong? If we were made for love as lovers by a loving God, why are so many of our relationships in such a mess? Same process. Person next to you. Time starts now. We'll make you the first one. His hand's already up. Do you want to go first? Yeah, excellent reading of the outline. That's wonderful. Yeah, does anyone else want to say anything more or different to that? Oh, so many on this. So this is the answering side of the room, by the way. Yes?
We sinned.
We sinned. Yes, wonderful. Ah, that was my answer. Yes?
We allowed other things to become more important.
Oh, that's so good. That's right. Remember, we reject our purpose. We allow other things to muscle in and take top spot of loving God and loving others. And that's why it's all a mess. Yep, in the middle. Yes, very often the very thing that muscles God out in the end is ourselves. If you take God out, there's always a vacuum. Something else will fill it. Normally it's ourselves. Yep, others, test your strength. Right back there, yep. Wonderful. Our relationships aren't focused on God. And yes, Luke? We try to out God God. Yes, from Genesis 3. Remember that was the serpent's whisper. And yep, last one. Yeah, wonderful. We rejected. Well, not wonderful, but yeah, good answer. We rejected. Remember, we forget our purpose, like we said. We neglect our nature. Do you remember? Instead of mutual interdependence where we love each other, we choose either independence on the one hand, and we said particularly perhaps the guys, I can go it alone, don't need you. Or we choose over-dependence on the other, which becomes obsession, possession. And ultimately, the reason we do all these things is because we reject our God. You remember the Billy Joel lyric? We learn a lot of old songs in this series. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. That's what we do. And remember again, because this is really important, it's that reason, that third reason, that's the cause of all the rest. That's the problem that needs to be solved to fix all the rest. It's our rejection of God that affects and infects all our other relationships, in fact, all the world and life. To help us see that, we're going to have a physical illustration. And for this one, Caleb, I need a volunteer. Thanks, Caleb. Small round of applause for Caleb. You can pause just there in the middle of the little tea there. Beautiful. If you didn't notice, Caleb's been calling me cheeky. Caleb and I go back a fair way. He's been calling me cheeky names all week in his love for me. So my love for him, I'm trying to include him in as many of the sermons as possible. Now, for this purpose, just for the purpose of this illustration, Caleb, so don't forget this, you are God. Okay, just for illustration. And we are everyone else. And we're going to illustrate together what our rejection of God does to our relationship. So for this, everyone, I need you to stand up. And there's a slight moment of discomfort for Caleb, I imagine. I need you to look at Caleb, face Caleb. He's your God. You were designed for this. This is what you're designed for. Now, what I need you to do is turn your back on Caleb. Turn around, put your back on Caleb. And as you do that, I need you to block yourself off from one another. So put up your blocks, block yourself off from one another, because this is what our rejection of God does. It blocks us from one another. In fact, more than that, in your own little spheres, your own little spaces, they're your world, and as uncomfortable as this is going to feel just for a moment, I want you to turn to the people around you, kick your blocks up, and convince them that you are God, you rule, your time starts now. Go! Okay, whoa! Excellent, Caleb, you can sit down, everyone else, you can sit down. Let's not tell anyone else after camp that we just did that. Kind of fun in the crowd. Not so fun in real life. Because that's what sin does. As we saw in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve, do you remember? And if you go on to read Genesis 4 and following, the spiral just gets down and worse and worse. Baby 1 kills brother 1. And then it gets worse. Our rejection of God always leads to rejection of others. As we turn our back on Him, so we block ourselves from one another. Our broken relationship with God always leads to broken relationships with each other. And that's the horror of the world post the fall, outside the garden after we've done that. But then, the wonderful one, talk three, question three, how does Jesus help? Perhaps you might like to talk to a person on the other side, unless you're in the aisle, I guess. Person on the other side, how does Jesus help? How does he solve the mess we find ourselves in? Time starts now. Have a chat. Lila will come up and there'll be chocolate soon. 30 seconds. How does Jesus help? And now it's time to share our answers. I'll come to you in a moment, Sarah. But Beanie, here. Yes? Wonderful. He dies on the cross for us. Might want to fill out how that helps. But yeah, Sarah? Yes, he gives us a wonderful example of how to love others. Yes.
He shares his love through helping and giving others.
Can you say that again? Say that one more time.
He shares us love through yeah. And giving others.
Yeah, he shows us how to love others. Yes. Yes.
He teaches us his ways.
Yes, he teaches us his ways. Yes, Stephen.
He restored our relationship with God by paying the price.
Wonderful, yes. Before he does all these other things, before his pattern, we need his pardon. Remember? Yes, in the hat up here.
He's all about others instead of
himself. Yes, he's all about others instead of himself, and we see that particularly in the pardon of his death. Hands down again, we'll have a few more questions yet. Remember the first and huge wonderful thing Jesus does, and it's really important we understand this is first, is that he restores our relationship with God. We heard that so wonderfully in the testimony just a moment ago. But then the second thing he does is, as he does that, and then as we follow his pattern of life, or actually his pattern of death, he works in us and with us to restore our relationships with each other. You see, as in Jesus and by his Spirit, he draws us to himself, so he draws us to each other. Okay, he's going to be the second of our physical illustrations to help. Caleb, come on down. Last one, Caleb. Last moment for me to show my deep love and affection to you. Encourage you never to call me Peterlicious again. Yep, stand there. Wonderful. This time I need you all to stand up again. I need you to turn your backs to God again. He's Caleb. He's God. I need you to put up your blocks. Don't do the yelling bit. It won't work if you do that. And then I want you to watch the miracle of what God does for us in Christ. Okay? As he lives the life we should have lived, dies the death we should have died, as he rises to pour out his Spirit, I want you to see what he does. See, the first thing he does is he turns us around to face him again. Please turn and face Caleb. And then he lowers our blocks to one another. Take down your blocks if you haven't already. Remember, the heart of our problem was rejection of God. The heart of salvation, relationship with God. But you see, as he does, as he lowers our walls, as he draws us to himself, I want you to see what happens. Everyone, move toward Caleb. It's okay if you need to move around your seats. Get as close as you can, not forgetting talk four. As close as you can, remembering talk four on purity. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. All right. Now please return to your seats. Go back to your seats. We've tormented poor Caleb enough. As you go back to your seats, I want to ask, what did you notice? What did you see? Yes, apart from it was squishy. It's time to go home to showers. Yeah. What did you notice? Yeah, we got surrounded by people. Yes, that's true. Stephen?
People started smiling and laughing.
That's a handy benefit too. What I particularly want you to notice is, as God, through his Son and his Spirit, draws us to himself, do you notice what he does? He actually draws us together. This is the wonder of salvation in Christ. The first fundamental thing he does is turns us back to God. As he does that, he brings us back together. If you want to see a beautiful place that happens in the Bible, after this, some other time, you've got set quiet time reading, don't you? But go and read Ephesians chapter 2. First half of the chapter, he draws us to himself. Second half of the chapter, he overcomes some of the greatest divisions that were known at that time between peoples and draws them together. Now, part of the way he does that, of course, is by working in us that we might follow his pattern that a number of you spoke of earlier. And so, Next question. I want you to turn to people around about you and ask, what was that pattern of love? Or if you like, you could imagine the scenario. Say, friend, what is love? Okay, what is love? Person next to you, what is love? Time starts now. Go. Let's share some answers. Yes, young lady.
Serving, giving others.
What a wonderful answer you must come from. Good stock indeed. Yes? Over here?
It's not a feeling.
Yeah, it's more than a feeling, like the song, old song used to say. Yep. Thank you. Yeah, Nathan.
An attitude and an action that serves and gives to others.
Beautiful, lovely way to feel like this one. It is an attitude and an action that serves and gives for others. Yes. Yep.
Sacrifice?
Yeah, and it's often seen in sacrifice. Yes, who hasn't answered yet? I'm trying to see. You.
The action of putting others before yourself.
Wonderful. The action and the attitude of putting others before yourself. Hands down again, this side of the room with all the hands in the air. Now, what I want to say is, I think when we say that here, it sounds fairly simple and obvious. But I want you to understand just how revolutionary this is. And just how much our world desperately needs this. Our world is crying out for a decent definition of love. Remember we said in the movies, I love you often just means I want you. And I want you for me. And again, if you listen to your songs, often the songs are no better. Even actually the classic song, I don't know if you know the one, it's a little dated again. The one that says, do you want to know what love is? And then does the pull down. If you ever get to listen to that wonderful song, it never actually answers the question. But you see, Jesus does. And especially in his death for us. That's where you see the true love we are to live. Just like we said, serving, giving others, an attitude and an action that serves and gives for the good of the other. That's how we love. Well, okay, well done. You've all passed. That's the theoretical component of the exam done. Now it's time for the practical. Now we move on to the how. After all, God doesn't just want our heads. He wants our heads and our hearts and our hands. Your Bibles are not just for information. They are for transformation. And so we've had a bit of a think already this week about how we're going to get practical with this in the area of sex and romance and the area of friendship. And I'm hoping you already have at least a couple of things you want to work on for each of those. Perhaps remind yourself of those in a few days or a couple of weeks' time. But so now I want to give us two new categories. We're going to think about how we can practically love. And the first of those is church. I want you to ask one another, what would it look like to love like this, after you've asked each other, so you can put your hand down for just a moment, what would serving, giving and others look like in church? And if it helps, think particularly of just your Sunday gathering or your weekly youth group. What would this look like? And again, if it helps again, think before you gather, during the gathering, and if you like, after the sort of formal gathering, what would it look like to love like this? I'd like you to be as practical as you can. Okay, people around about you, once again, time starts now. How can you love like this at church? Go. Okay, Hayden, you yelled out something earlier. Do you want to say what your first one was?
Get to church on time or early if you can.
How is that loving, Hayden?
It is loving because it shows the people that are getting there and serving there that you care. It's an encouragement for people rocking up at church and go, you know, people obviously think this is important.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It's wonderful. It encourages others to turn up early or on time. Do you know who usually turns up early to church services? New people. New people often turn up early. People regularly, they turn up late. New people come early. You want to love the new person? You want them to know this is the place for them? Get there when they get there. Get there on time. Get there early. Okay, any other suggestions? How can we love at church? Yes?
By having conversations about the talk rather than maybe what you're doing, that really is actually like sharing your understanding or answering.
Wonderful. After the service, having a conversation about the things you've learned. Or if you like, just try to have one deep conversation. My wife and I, that's what we set ourselves after each church service, try to have one decent conversation, and often just one conversation with someone we normally wouldn't. I'm actually quite introverted. I find groups of people quite daunting very often. And so for me, after church, that's what I set myself. One deep conversation, one person I don't know, and then often other conversations happen. But that's my goal. Otherwise, my temptation is to just go. Sometimes it's just like, I need to get out of here. No, I need to do that first, and then I'm okay, actually, to love and serve others as well. Okay, over here as well. I'll come back in a minute. Yes?
Offer your talents for the use of the church.
Yeah, wonderful. That's great. Offer your talents. How can you serve? What can you do that would help the people in church? I don't know if it's going to wreck things or not, but here we go. Yep.
Respecting others.
Yep, absolutely. Respecting others. Yep, maybe just one more in the red jumper here. Yep, mate. Yeah, ask people about their faith. Yep. You know one really great way to get a good conversation in the church? Ask people, how can I pray for you? My lovely wife does it all the time. You know, after church, we naturally want to talk about the footy or the 2020. If you say to someone, how can I pray for you? They never say, pray for Hawthorne. You know, pray for the Big Bash. Suddenly, straight away, you're going to talk about meaningful things. And you'll normally have a meaningful conversation and a chance to pray with each other as well. Other things you can do is you can pre-read the passage. Oh, yeah, do you want to do one more? Yep.
I was going to say, not just at church, but you can actually, like, follow on to what you've said before. Like, you can pray for people. Yeah, not just, like, ask what they want to pray for, what they need to pray for, but actually pray for them.
Yeah, yeah, wonderful. And we won't do any more, so put your hands down. That was a little cheating one. One really helpful thing to do is when you arrive at church, or even on your way, pray about where you'll sit. I know that seems really silly because you've all got your set pew and you have to sit in your set pew and it's been the family pew for the last 35 years because that's how we roll. But pray about where you'll sit. Pray about how can you love and serve as soon as you walk in the door. Is there someone there who's by themselves? Thank you, Father, for answering my prayer and showing me where I can sit. It's actually a very, very helpful tip about how you can love and serve in church. Other things you can do is pre-read the passage before you get there. That will help the guy at the front who's giving the Bible talk. Do you know that you are the same distance from me as I am from you? We have this strange feeling that you can see me, but somehow I can't see you. Do you know I can see you just as clearly as you can see me? And so can your preacher on Sunday. It's really helpful if you've read the passage, if you're engaged, if you want to learn. If you want your preacher to preach well, actually being engaged with the preacher is really helpful. And it's a way to love him and everyone else who stands at the front. Music leaders are the same. They can see your face. They can see if you sing the great praise song like this. That's a great way. Just be engaged in the service. And obviously preparing for the service is a way you can be engaged. And there's lots of other things you can do, and we can chat together more if you'd like to do that. See, really the point is once you know the love of God for you and once you know how to love like Jesus, I want to say the old petrol station approach to church is over. Or if you like the petrol station approach to youth group. After all, you know how a petrol station works, don't you? You roll in, fuel up, roll out. And don't get me wrong, you don't want to be rude. So if you see a guy at the bowser next to you, you give him a wave. If it's your friend, have a small chat. That's how petrol stations work. They're there to serve you, right? Friends, I want to say that might be good enough for Caltex. That is not good enough for God's church. And it's not good enough for your youth group either. Not if you know God's love for you in Jesus and not if you know how to love like Jesus. We do not go to church or to youth group if you are saved just to consume. We go to contribute. We don't just go to be served, you remember that line, someone famous said it, but to serve and to lay down our life like Jesus did for us. Okay, next category, second one, probably the next opportunity you'll have. Where's that? It's in our homes with our families, our flatmates. Same question, second last question, how can we love them? How can you love today when you get home? And I'm going to give you 15 seconds this time. Person next to you, 15 seconds. How can you love when you get home? Okay, that was kind of a long Christian 15 seconds. Any answers? How can you love when you get home? Did you put your hand up, Louise? Yeah, Louise, there, try that out. Yeah. Duck everyone three rows in front. Yep, Louise. Wonderful. Thank you. Be patient with the parents who love you and gave you life. when they show interest in you. Yes. Say again, sorry. Yeah, wonderful. Yep, have a Bible study with your people at home. Yep, again, mate. Yep. Yeah, tell them you love them. Wonderful. That's fantastic. Yep. Sorry, buddy. Cook dinner for your parents. Now we're taking it up a level, Red Jumper. We're going to ask you later if you did that, by the way. But yep. Do your own washing. Oh! All this side of the room just went, oh! I mean, I know he died for me, but man. Washing. Are you even close to serious? But you hear the idea, don't you? You're going there again, you're thinking, what's good for them? Now, you might not do your own washing, you just might put it in the place where the washing goes rather than kind of doing the Hansel and Gretel on the way in. Do you do that when you get home from school like my kids do? They want to find their way back to the door, so they put their jumper and their socks and their shoes all the way up the hall. Don't do that when you get home today. The point is, put your hands down, we'll come one last question in a moment. Some really good advice I was given, it's a bit like entering church. It was called the doormat prayer. Particularly in some of your cases, it might be the car park prayer, but it's the same idea. The idea is when you get home, especially from a week like this, the first thing you do is you plant both feet in your doormat and then you pray. For patience, energy, love, and then you open the door. Doormat prayer, car park prayer, give that a go later today. Okay, very, very last question. My question is, what will you pass on from this week? The Word of God's not just for information, it's for transformation, and it's for sharing for that sake. So I want you to imagine a friend comes to you, let's make her non-Christian perhaps, and she says to you, say, friend, what'd you do in the holidays? What'd you do over New Year's? What could you say, especially in a way that would help you share something you've learnt from this week? Okay, last question. Talk to the person next to you. Time starts now. Go. This is one worth well preparing, by the way. Well worth preparing. I can never come up with these on the spot, but if I've thought about them beforehand, it's often very helpful. All right, man, you've had your hand up every single time. Yep. Okay, you're going to tell them you learnt to trust God in all your relationships. Yeah, that's cool. Yep. Here's something. I learnt that God loves you and God is love. Yep, Jesse.
I learnt about relationships and how God showed love through one another.
Yeah. We learn about relationships and how God showed us love and where to love one another. Yep, mate.
I'll show them how to be a good friend.
Yeah. You can go back and, as well as speaking, you can show them how to be a good friend. Any more on this side of the room? Yeah, mate. Yep, I learned to put God above all relationships. One of the things I find, if we can put our hands down, I like to think about what's the first line that I want to say in a way that's going to generate some more conversation. I think the old thing I used to do was just try to tell them like every word of every talk in one go and found that was often not effective. So I try to think, what's something intriguing I can say that maybe gives me a chance to speak a little more? So here's some I prepared earlier. I went to a great camp where they told us the meaning of life. Right, come on. Or I went to this great camp and I found out that I was made for loving you, baby, and you were made for loving me. Now, obviously, you want to use that one with caution. Anyway. I went to this great camp and I was reminded how Jesus changes everything. I could do that. I could do that with my neighbor. I will do that with my neighbour. Next time we see each other, ask me if I did it. If he says hello, Brian's always out. He's up for a chat. Ask me if I said that. You see, then hopefully they'll ask, how? What? Why? And you get a chance to say something else. Finish up, just a few final words. The first thing I want to say is with all this love stuff, be it with God, romantically, friends, I want to say again, it's all much easier here when we're all trying to do this together, then it will be out there. So I just want to say, expect it to be hard. Don't be disappointed when it is. Don't be surprised when it is. Be prepared to work. Second, I want to say you will at some point mess this up. Okay, I want to say, I actually think you've done a really good job this camp at loving each other. I've been really encouraged by the way you've loved and served at camp. But at some stage, you will let others down. You will let yourself down. You won't love as you should. This side of heaven, our world and ourselves are not going to be perfect. So what I want to encourage you to do is aim high. Right? Just. But don't be too hard on yourself when you shoot low. Or at least don't be too hard for too long, you know. Remind yourself of God's love for you and through you. Remind yourself that he couldn't love you more and he won't love you less. Remind yourself that your friendship with him does not depend on your performance. It depends on Jesus' performance, and he was and is perfect. Okay? So if and when you fail, remember that and then just get up, you know? Dust yourself off and go again. There's this cool story I heard once of a kid playing in the mud near the path that his dad would come down to on the way to work. And one day dad comes out all dressed for work. He's got the tie and the thing and, you know, and on his way, he too falls down into the mud, right? And so they're both, they are, sitting in the mud. And I want to say, just for a moment, they don't look any different. But I want to say they are. Why? Well, it's because unlike the kid, dad doesn't want to be there. And so unlike the kid, dad gets up, gets out of the mud, cleans himself off and keeps on walking. Friends, I want to say when it comes to living this out, I want to encourage you, be like that. If occasionally you sort of fall into the lovelessness that so many seem to want to wallow in, don't give up. Get up. Knowing God's love for you, get up. In the strength he provides, get up. And start loving again. You know, an expert of the law came to Jesus once and he tested him with a question. Teacher, he said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Do you know what Jesus said? Why don't you say it with me? Let's say this together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thanks for a wonderful week, for reminding us of yourself, of what you've done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what you call us to as followers of him. Thank you that it is the best way to live. Father, we pray we would trust you. Pray we would trust you to pursue it when it comes to sex and romance, when it comes to friendship, when it comes to church, when it comes to family. Father, please help us, knowing your love for us, to love like you. And we do pray, Father, too, for the times that we slip and fall and fail and disappoint ourselves. Father, help us again to know your love for us and so to get up, dust off, and love again. We pray these things so that our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ would be honored. Amen.